to me personally, I have not failed enough. And I've grown tremendously. And failing forward is such a great concept. It's a great thing.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Sunil Chalar, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, the pleasure's mine. You know, normally I get a chance to do a bio on guests that come on, but today I'd love it if you don't mind, you know, just give our listeners a quick bio on who you are.
Quick bio. I came from Wall Street. Mm. So pretty decent background. Started as a VP dealer. I actually traded securities for a little while. So I had my Series 7 license. At a young age, I saw on the real estate side, making money. So I figured, you know what? I'll give that a try. Believe it or not, the first year I made $5,000, which sucks. Obviously, I needed to wake up and basically took off from there. Worked for a couple of different companies for a little while. Right now, I own my own company. I've been doing real estate for 21 years now. 17 of those 21 years, I've been buying, rehabbing, and flipping. So it's been a challenge initially, because obviously you're new to the game, but as time goes on, you know what you're doing. And I've grown. I own a lot of properties myself, and I got into the multifamily space recently. I do own some multifamilies, but just looking to grow, retire young, enjoy life. Here I am.
That's fantastic. I love the journey there. What has been some of the key differences you could tell us between the experience you had as a VP on Wall Street and why real estate was even appealing?
Funny thing, a quick little story. At a very young age, I had 25 years old, I started. I had 67 people working for me at that age.
Wow.
I would basically go off, do my thing, delegate work, always got done. Funny thing though, managers or upper management really paid no attention to me. So although I'm getting things done and I'm moving forward, I figured to myself, if no one's really paying attention to me, this really isn't the right space for me. And I had looked at real estate at that point in time as well. And I figured, you know what? I do want to make the transition. I did meet up with Anthony Robbins. And believe it or not, that one weekend after I went to his event, walked on fire, day number one, I walked back into my company the following week. And I gave my 2 weeks resignation. I was done.
That's fantastic. I love the courage to just follow what it is that your heart is saying. Hey, man, this is the right next step. What advice can you give to some of our listeners who may be struggling with that next move?
You know what? We always say, burn the boat, 2 feet in the game. You got to move forward. Listen, there's always fear, right? But really, what is fear? To me personally, I have not failed enough. And I've grown tremendously. And failing forward is such a great concept. It's a great thing. And I've failed forward 21 years of my life. I'm very successful. And at my age right now, my life right now, I need to fail forward faster.
I like that idea, you know, of failing forward. Tell us maybe a story or maybe an example of when you have failed forward. What did it cost you? And then what did you gain from it?
Like anything else, failing forward would mean the first one or two properties that you have bought when things go wrong and you really had no idea how to fix it, but eventually you did make the corrections. And the fear of growing, the fear of taking on, you know, 1, 2, 3 multiple properties at the same time, because you just, again, it's you're a newbie. But as time goes along, that's where you learn and grow. Right. And growth is such a good thing. One of the things that you cannot be in this game or to be successful is complacent. You cannot be comfortable where you are. You always got to push your comfort zone, be outside of your comfort zone in order to grow. And one of the things I tell all my realtors is walking in the door, I'm going to make you uncomfortable. So I'm going to push you out of your comfort zone. One of the things that I'm personally doing right now, I am so fearful of heights. Why? I don't know. But what I'm doing about it, I'm getting my pilot's license. I'm flying. So if I'm pushing you out of your comfort zone, I got to definitely push me out of mine.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. And that's one of the things we talk about quite a bit on this show is the advantages of discomfort or the success that is found in the realm of discomfort. I've not quite heard it said so succinctly where you said to be successful is to be complacent. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Sure. I've seen many realtors walk in my door and they're happy making what they're making. And as a broker looking at an individual, looking at another person, let's assume you're happy making $200,000. For me, that's not good enough. Mm. When you make $500,000, $1 million, that's where you want to be. And you want to even grow from there as well. I'm definitely not the type to just sit back and say, hey, you're making $100,000, you're making $200,000, life's great, good for you. I always want to push you. And it just kills me a lot of times inside to see, I want more for you. And you want for you. But either way, I'm certainly not going to look at someone and have them be complacent or comfortable because I'm always going to push you because I'm always pushing me.
How do you develop that culture within the brokerage firm? What are some strategies you use to continually encourage your brokers to not stay complacent?
One of the things that I've done, and I've done this successfully for 21 years, is I'm always out on the street, I'm knocking on doors. I'm not the guy who sits back and sends mailers to clients. So being on the street, confronting people, knowing what's going on in the community as a realtor, that's what you want to do. Now, transition that into multifamily or transition that into anything. You need to basically get the pavement running. You can't sit back in the ivory tower and expect things to get done. Just like on the construction job sites, I'm there. I'm not sitting back and having a conversation, waiting for things to happen. You need to be present. This is your, if this is your business, if this is what you do, you need to be present.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, because there's a lot of promises in the world of real estate. You know, okay, send direct mail and then wait for your phone to ring. Buy Google Ads, wait for your phone to ring. And there's just no get-rich-quick scheme. I don't think that works long term. It is, I think, as you're putting it, the grit and the grind that gets it done. What's it been like running a brokerage firm and being a full-time landlord, flipping houses, things like that? How have you juggled all of those?
Long hours, long, long hours. I work is funny. I work obviously from early morning till maybe 1-2 in the morning. You know, one thing I've said to my kids, and I've said this to my realtors as well, you got to be Superman or Superwoman, meaning get up early, get it done, go to sleep late, get it done. Point is, just get it done. You know, in this line of work, in this business, we create something, meaning money, we create something out of nothing. So there's no paycheck come a Friday. You got to go out here and create it. So you need to be diligent about what you do. Time-wise, you need to be very efficient. Because you'd hear a lot of times from people, a lot of realtors, since there's no accountability a lot of times on their side, where there's no boss telling them, hey, you got to be at work at 9 o'clock, take your breaks, take your lunch, leave, do it all over again the next day, that does not exist. So you need to be diligent about your time and just be efficient, be effective, and get it done. So with my guys, I basically formulate a schedule with them. And again, I'm not their boss because they're obviously self-employed, but just as a guidance of what you should be doing on a daily basis and blocking time. Time blocking, time management, it's a must in this game.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. At one point in your real estate career, you started to buy small multifamily, smaller commercial real estate. Can you kind of give us an idea on what those holdings look like right now? And then maybe why you're looking to now scale into bigger assets?
Sure. From single families to triplexes to 6 units, 20 units. That's what I started off with, obviously from 2 families. As you grow, and you see the profitability of these type properties, of these asset classes, you want more. You always wonder, when you look at these apartment complexes, how do you buy it? If something's worth $20 million and obviously don't have $20 million, how do you go about getting that? Believe it or not, it's easy. It is not hard one bit. It does take courage. It does take knowledge to put it together. Stuff that I've been working on is basically 200 plus units right now. Those are what I'm purchasing. Those are what I'm working on actively with some of my partners as well. Right now, for instance, we're looking at a 650 unit down in Texas. Everything that I buy is basically out of state. So it is professionally managed. I'm not going to self-manage. I do not want to take the phone calls that the toilet is blocked. So I basically manage. My job is to manage my managers.
That's incredible. You know, just the line that you say there, you know, it's not hard one bit. Why do you think people find it to be hard? What are the common stumbling blocks perhaps that you hear or objections that are, you know, objections that are put out there that you say that's just noise?
It is not hard because you know what? People don't have the knowledge, lack of knowledge, number one. And number two, in my eyes, people just scared. I guess people are just afraid of failure. They don't look at it like, my God, I could actually be successful here. So it's like, what if I fail? What if I fail? That's the noise around everything. What if you don't fail? What if you actually get it done? I have a mastermind group. And, you know, one of the things that I'm going to start doing in the coming weeks is I'm actually going to start a training program on investing in these type of assets. One of my challenges initially were I syndicate, obviously, so I have SEC attorneys working for me, is raising capital. I'll tell you a case in point. On one of my very first deals, I have a list of 238 investors. So when I buy properties with investors, I always use their money. In 21 years, I have never used a dime of my own money. OPM, right? Other people's money. So everyone makes a nice return. So everyone throws money at me. I brought up the fact that, you know, I'm doing multifamilies, it's in different states, and everyone knows what the returns are because you're getting it right now. The challenge with speaking with the same individuals that I've done business for 21 years were, no, this is not here in Jersey. This is not 20 minutes away. I don't know Texas or Georgia. And what I've found from that is, and the funny thing is, the majority of all my investors were the same. So it's just being scared, not knowing what multifamilies are. It's a totally different animal. So I needed to basically pivot and find investors who invest in multifamilies. It's such a strange dynamic. You know, return is a return. We know we do have a common interest here. You've been giving me your money for 21 years, but, you know, which is fine. We still do business. But it's just that mindset again and that shift that was a little challenging and that I did not expect. So one of the places that I've turned to, which is pretty unique, like I've mentioned to you, is family offices. So I've been dealing with a lot of family offices right now, and that's how I'm conducting businesses. I have, for instance, I have some projects that I'm working on right now, which is $78 million assets. And through the family offices, that's where we are raising equity from. On the debt side of things, it's not a problem for me.
Right.
So it's the equity portion of it. And I'm happy to say, though, through family offices, that's working out.
That's fabulous. Talk to us about maybe how the return, because you know, when you get into, I have heard, I don't do anything personally with family offices yet, but I've heard, especially when you start working with institutional money, and I would probably lump family offices into that to an extent, that the return profiles to you as the deal sponsor really get tweaked, maybe, because if they're writing a single equity check, then that means you're not going to take as much maybe on acquisition fees, or maybe the splits change. How are you working around that in such a way that you as the deal sponsor still get, you know, obviously compensated for putting the whole deal together?
Each office is different. Obviously, you are correct. They obviously want the lion's share. But it boils down to a whole lot of conversation. One of the things that I have that I could give to any one of these offices in my wheelhouse, basically I would use $50 to $100 million equity any given year. So based on that volume that I could produce, they're a little bit more considerate and they're working with me. But again, like you said, it is a challenge where they come first. And I get that.
I understand what you mean when you say that if you can present $50 to $100 million in equity that they can place in any given year, but maybe can you explain that to our listeners as to why that's important?
Sure. Within my space, between myself and my various partners who are also sponsors, we have a lot of deal flow. So there's definitely a lot of deals throughout the country that we have and we are working on where, like anybody else, money is always a factor. You could only buy so much once you have the money. So being presented, me being presented with that opportunity and that space where I have deals, that's where I could come in or come to the family offices and let them know, hey, I have XYZ 1, 2, 3, 4 deals presented to them, present the underwriting to them. And that's how I'm doing it, through deal flow.
Right. Because when they have $100 million in equity to place, oddly, that can be a challenge.
It's always a challenge because obviously they have someone else's money that they need to put to work.
Right. Right.
Makes no sense sitting here.
Right. Right. They don't want to sit in cash, but yet finding opportunity that makes sense to place that.
Correct.
And especially when you start dealing with those, you know, denominations of money that you, you know, protecting capital is probably your first priority. So finding safe places that also generate a return is, it's an interesting challenge. That's fabulous. So now I've really enjoyed this. We've learned a lot from you, from growing a brokerage firm to buying small commercial assets to, you know, just hearing your strategy on how you're taking down multifamily assets, dealing with family offices. You've given us an even a lot of mindset stuff inside of this episode where we talked about comfort zones and getting outside of that and how you push yourself. Best of luck on your pilot's license, by the way.
Thank
how
you.
How many hours do you have currently and how far are you away from getting your ticket?
I still have another 20 hours to go. So I'm doing as much as I can, but at the same token, there's so much going on. So that's what's preventing me right now from doing a lot more with my pilot's license.
Understood.
Getting it a lot faster.
And at 20 hours, I assume you have already soloed.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet, actually.
Okay. Okay. Well, you'll have to notify us on LinkedIn maybe or something to that extent when you get your first solo under your belt. For those of you who aren't listening and are not pilots, I too have my pilot's license, and I will tell you your first solo by yourself when you're in the airplane all alone is terrifying. So, you know,
I look forward to that.
Absolutely, man. I sat there and I talked to my instructor who wasn't there, you know, white hands, white knuckles. And I'm like, Ted, where are you, buddy? Like, oh crud. It's just me in an airplane. Oh Lord.
It's scary.
It's terrifying, but also extraordinarily gratifying once you get
acceleration at the same time. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Get outside of your comfort zone. A few quick questions for you. If you could help our listeners avoid one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
You would never avoid a mistake. that's basically how you learn. You want to maybe engage or partner with someone who knows what they're doing or be around successful people who have done it before. The last thing you really don't want to do is, you know, is land or step on a landmine, so to speak, because that's a financial blunder. So just your sphere of influence, have someone just to basically be there to guide you. And that's the greatest thing that anyone could have.
Fabulous. Question number two for you is, when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
I love that question. One of the things that I'm doing with everything that I buy, as far as all my tenants, we certainly upgrade the apartments. We upgrade the community, the property, to make that living space just a place that the tenants want to come home to and call home. So we definitely love helping our tenants, number one. We obviously help our investors, but our tenants come first because those are the driving force to making everything a reality as well.
That's awesome. I love that. So now if listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Give me my cell number. It's 201-954-0292. or you can reach me at my company, Sunil, at exitrealtyurbanliving.com.
And that's Sunil spelled S-U-N-I-L-L, correct?
One L.
S-U-N-I-L. Do that one more time for us. We'll cut this part out and give that email one more time. Maybe you can spell that first name, and we'll just edit that part out.
You got it. My email, SunilExitRealtyUrbanLiving.com, and it's spelled S-U-N-I-L, one L.
Sunil, thank you so much for your time today. This was fabulous. I do appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.